have is coming in from JD. So the final session that we have for the day is optimizing virtual networking. And the speaker is JD Gershman. He is an expert in personal branding and social media marketing and also a keynote speaker. Over to you, JD.
Welcome. Welcome into my world as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
I thought you were going to ask me something. Are we done with the intro? The intro is done?
The intro is done.
No problem. You know, I know we've been back and forth on this a while, Deb, and we were kind of talking about what is social networking at this point? What does optimizing social networking mean? And I've been kind of around this since the time that the world went into in-home sheltering and lockdown, quarantine, call it what you will, and the behavioral shifts around how we leverage the online world. So to take you back to actually mid-March of 2020. Now, 2020 started out great for everybody. Start of a new decade, a marketer's dream with 2020 vision and getting people acclimated to really carrying forward their plans for the new decade. And then the coronavirus crisis hit us and the global pandemic surged. And now we're 6 months into this at the time that we tape. What have we learned? Where are we going? And how do we truly optimize our networking efforts? So one thing I think the overarching behavioral shift of all of this is that it's really driven home the importance and the need for professional relationships and for personal branding. So professional relationships and personal branding. So how are the two intertwined, and how are we really kind of reconciling our value as business people to create wins in the business world? Between LinkedIn, which is the sandbox I've been playing in since 2006, and Zoom, we have the virtualization of business. So LinkedIn and Zoom in concert are acting as our lifeline in business today. Leveraging these platforms individually and in concert is what's going to drive our outcomes. So what have I noticed? What am I doing? And what can I impart to our audience here today? Well, first and foremost, I always tell people that things changed for me the moment I sent my first email. So I've been really acculturized into the digital world. I've lived it, I've breathed it, I've tasted it, I've slept it. I worked hard to get a consultancy going at a time when nobody knew what LinkedIn was. I was one of the first to the field, one of the first independent LinkedIn consultants in the world. So I know a little bit about how we convey our value on these social platforms. Right. And what happened was, starting really with the start of 2020, more and more people started drawing in. And with the onset of the pandemic, started leaning into LinkedIn after postponing it or neglecting it for so many years. And they've had struggles trying to find a place for themselves in the virtual world. So one of the ways that I've been allaying fears and doubts is just by letting people know that they're on the right track, that yes, they have to make up for lost time, especially those in the corporate world who never really thought they had to build a network or build a personal brand or sell themselves to another employer. But now with teams working remotely and people very unsure about their jobs moving forward, and with so many people having been furloughed and collecting unemployment, it's a free-for-all. Right. So people are kind of starting from scratch. They're building their brands, they're building their networks, and most importantly, they're building a business case for themselves. So the way that we optimize what we're doing is to really get clear on our story, to really move our narratives forward in a way that makes sense to the people with whom we speak, with whom we'd like to stay connected. And on the subject of connectedness, we're kind of feeling it a lot more. We're all spending a lot more time online. We're reassessing, recalibrating, reconfiguring, and re-engineering our LinkedIn profiles, ideally so that when people review us, they have a fairly good idea as to what we're doing. And the clearer you are on that narrative and the better you present yourself in virtual meetings, the more the two versions start to intersect and the better your conversations will be. And I have found that, especially in the work with my clients for whom I prepare LinkedIn profile content, they are kind of taking ownership of their story. They're telling a better story to people, and they feel like they're building a brand. And feeling like you're building a brand is a whole lot different than actually laying back and saying, yeah, I'm going to build a brand someday. Yeah, I promise I'll get to it. But proactively now, we need to start to take steps and move ourselves forward in the virtual setting so that we can create career advancement, so that we can create sales, so that we can generate revenue, opportunities, credibility.
Right.
Questions. What do you got for me? Deb, what do you got for me? Ask me
a lot of questions, JD. So, okay, let's start with the first one. Okay, tips for the virtual networking event. If you have some tips for like people who are doing events in the virtual networking space, how do we reach out to people? How do we promote our events?
Well, virtual events are starting to take on a couple of different formats. So those are the ones that we go to. And for the last 6 months, as we tape this here, nearing the end of August 2020, we've had almost 6 months of kind of maneuvering within online communities to see how these people are doing it. So you're going to be in events that are moderated or facilitated by others. You may be wondering how to moderate or facilitate your own events. And then there are the smaller groups, the so-called roundtable discussions, peer advisories, masterminds. These are all very focused conversations around a specific topic or generalized around how we're dealing with the COVID-19 age. So all sorts of events have all sorts of different brand initiatives and all sorts of follow-up strategies. The key is that whatever the event you're attending, be it a group session, a large group session where everybody can see each other, or a one-on-one or small group session, is to stay connected and follow up. The key is truly in the follow-up. So you've got to step up and do well, especially when you unmute your microphone and speak and introduce yourself, but following up. Take notes of the people who intrigue you in a group setting and reach out to them. Correlate that with a view of their LinkedIn profiles. Schedule a Zoom call. I think everybody now has some kind of e-scheduler, or if they don't, they should. You can get a free platform through any number of these e-calendar links. Make that available to people. Let them look at their calendar, cross-reference, and get back to you with a date and a time. And conduct yourself well in these one-on-ones. People should be interviewing each other in these conversations. It should be relaxed. Yeah. Check in. How's your family? You staying healthy? You wearing the mask? You washing your hands? All of that. But truly, we're coming towards people now as human beings and not sellers. Do not sell in these online events. You can pitch yourself and you can promote yourself artfully and scientifically, but don't sell. The last thing people need right now is to sell, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely true. Okay, so the next question that we have is, how do you look good when you're doing a virtual networking session?
Well, come on. Look, I shaved for you. I washed my hair. I just stepped out of the salon. I took pride in my appearance. You know, these are business meetings, folks. And the first few weeks, it might have been cool to show up in a hoodie. And for guys, maybe let the beard go for a couple of weeks if that wasn't your style, or show up in a t-shirt, for gosh sakes. But I mean, accessorize yourself, appoint yourself well, kind of step up and meet the energy of the meeting. These are now business people. We've been doing this long enough to realize that, okay, this is serious. If you're going to sell products and services, if you're going to sell yourself as an author, speaker, consultant, coach, or value creator or advisor, level up. Dress as you would, I guess, from the diaphragm up. Nobody can tell what I'm wearing below my jacket, right? So, I mean, obviously, and I'm standing up and I'm presenting and I'm energized.
Right. I
have that right blend of waking state and energy and cortisol level and caffeine surging through my veins. I'm ready for this. I cared about this.
Right.
And I think that's really the big step here, Deb, is when you care, it'll show in your gestures, your expressions, your mannerisms, your overall body language.
Right. So the next question that we have is actually like an addition to what we were discussing. How do I present myself better on Zoom, even with restricted gadget support?
Okay, requires a little bit of an investment here, folks. So if you're going to make the commitment to have better virtual meetings, I'm going to tilt my head a little bit so you can see my ring light, my LED ring light. My gosh, $40 from Best Buy, folks. You think you could swing that? As far as audio goes, I'm with the Blue microphone, which is the state-of-the-art plug-and-play microphone, $70 from Amazon.com. I mean, come on. So for $110, I feel I look and I sound good. We dress our sets appropriately behind us. We're now living in fishbowls, so people can kind of see in our homes, which really humanizes the experience as well as ideally professionalizing the experience. So dress your set, decorate your set, make it interesting, but not too distracting for people so that they're listening to you, they're focused on you and not what you have in the background.
Great. So the next question is how to avoid Zoom fatigue because we are doing it day in, day out with our internal team members on here right now. So how do we get over that?
I have taken it upon myself to learn as much as I can about Zoom fatigue. And I love the question, Deb. And I'm sure a lot of folks are just waiting with bated breath for my answer. And it's different for everybody because the brain, our brains, need a lot of energy to perform. And they need even more energy to perform at maximum capacity. Right. And Zoom performance, and we can speak about Zoom meetings now in terms of performance, how you perform, how you stand and deliver, it takes a lot of energy. And you have to have good nutrition, good exercise. On a good day, I'm at about 10 to 12, maybe sometimes even more Zoom meetings per day, which consists of meetings, which consists of events that I speak at, and which also encompasses all of the one-on-one follow-ups. And I'm hoping people will want some one-on-one follow-ups with me to see that I truly walk my talk. But Zoom is performance. And when you're expending that kind of energy, yeah, it's easy to feel it. And the brain does fatigue. And you start to feel it later in the day, especially if you're on your fourth or fifth or sixth Zoom meeting.
Right.
Personally, I'm hardwired for this. I love it. During the calls, I'm fine. But let's just say at the end of the day, yeah, I hit the wall like everybody else. And let's just say I hit my pillow pretty hard at night too.
Right. Next one is, I think, coming in from the LinkedIn perspective, which is...
The LinkedIn perspective. I know a little something about that. I'll see what we can do here.
Okay. So here somebody asked is, what should I focus on initial days of building LinkedIn? More followers to my profile or a sound engagement to all the activities that I'm doing?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a great question. And the quality versus quantity argument is there for us at pretty much every turn. When it comes to any aspect of LinkedIn, quality will trump quantity anytime. Having the most followers isn't going to get you any prizes, any merit badges. He who dies with the most connections does not win. It's all about quality. And everything I'm teaching regarding LinkedIn nowadays to both individuals and companies revolves around building the quality network, the tight-knit, cohesive network where you know people in it, where you can build a center of influence network or a referral alliance. And rather than have a lot of people out there floating around in your orbit who you're not sure of or who you don't remember connecting with in the first place, better to have organic network building where you know these folks and they can refer you business. They can make introductions on your behalf. They've read your profile. They've reread your profile and they know who you are and to whom they can refer you. When it comes to the profile, obviously you want to take advantage of all the real estate that LinkedIn gives you in terms of character limits and make sure that your core message is articulated very well in the professional headline, in the about section, and in your current open experience section. And when it comes to followers, it's great to have followers. It's a chest thumping feeling to know that your content is resonating with people. But you know what? Size of the audience doesn't matter because you can influence a few people just as much as you can influence a lot. And when you get into that area of being a big time influencer, it's a huge responsibility. And there's some liability there and there's some accountability there. So the key is to kind of incrementally work your way into a situation where you're building numbers, but you're building good numbers.
Right. Okay, so the next one is pretty interesting one. It's saying that how to humor up a conversation and keep it interactive for the audiences and make them come back as you are doing it here.
Well, I'm hoping that I'm just as engaging as hell right now. And that people are sitting ready to put something in the chat box saying, JD, I absolutely have to have a one-on-one with you. There's no way that I could go on without one. and create a consumer craving about yourself. You know, there's so many people who just phone it in during their virtual meetings, or they put themselves off of video or unmute their microphone, and they're non-participants even though they're there. And one thing that I encourage at all my own virtual events, the ones that I produce, is, hey, I want to see everybody. I want to see the gallery of faces. I want to see people engaged, looking at the screen, making eye contact with their webcam. Their sets are well lit. They're not out of frame, you know what I mean? Or they're not sitting like this, or you know what? Or they're not engaged, or they're not looking through and checking emails or on their phone texting. I mean, again, engagement is key. We want to know that people are listening to us. I certainly, as a speaker at your event, want to know that people are listening, and I'm going to do my best to make sure they get a good return on their time. And if you're taking 15, 20, 30 minute Zoom calls with people, respect their time as well. Show up, be genuinely interested in what they have to say, because if you are, they'll be genuinely interested in what you have to say.
I think we have some amazing things coming up in the chat. People are loving your owl collection, by the way. I'm not sure if they know that your company's name is Owlish Communications.
Yeah. Owlish Communications, where on earth would I get that name? Huh? Who would name their company after an owl, huh?
Yeah, so we have like pretty good comments coming in. You can read it after the questions, and I need to cover up the questions, otherwise people would get super angry. So let's do that. What tactics would you implement to generate high conversion leads through virtual networking?
Great question. The one thing that I would preface my answer with, Deb, is that I think we really do need to move away from the lead generation mindset and focus on opportunity generation. Lead generation has become quite a predatory sales term these days. And there are so many people who are leveraging LinkedIn in the absolutely most undesirable way. They come at you under the guise of wanting to connect with you and build a relationship. Truly, all they want to do is sell you a product or service that you don't want or need. Yes. And these days right now, if you're going to sell a product or service, and I know that there are folks on our call who do sell products and services and need to sell more of them, build the relationship first. Don't come at people with a pitch. Don't hammer them over the head with how cool you are or how cool your company is or that you're the industry leader. Really approach them from the point of view of being a fact finder. Put your finger on their pulse. Ask them questions that go right to their pain. And if you can feel that pain, and if your solutions are strong enough to alleviate that pain, then you can start creating the sales moment and kind of merging down that path where you can talk about what you do, and people will believe you and believe the strength of your solutions when you get to that point, when you show that you care. I can't tell you how offensive and intrusive certain sales practices are right now. All these people want to do is generate leads. Marketers are coming at people on LinkedIn with the idea of using LinkedIn as a lead generator. I think we need to move away from the transactional and into the relational and focus on opportunity generation. Generate opportunities.
So actually, that's the question, that's an additional question that we have for the same discussion that we have been having, is what are the do's and don'ts of a virtual networking session? Like, what should we do? What shouldn't we do? And when we discuss about, like, you know, talking about people and what they are going through, how we can build relations, if there are any tips that you would like to share with us, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're in a networking event like this, now I'm focused on you. I can't see who's on my screen. I'm going to go on the basis of the chat. I'm kind of, as you can see, I'm peripherally looking at my, off to the side to see a few chat things. But for the most part, as a speaker, a presenter, I'm here to deliver content. So I hope that what comes back at me afterwards, there'll be some nice words, some good vibes and everything. But when I'm at a meeting, I'm paying attention to who's on my screen, and I have LinkedIn up. And basically what I do is I minimize my Zoom screen and I put it right over my LinkedIn screen so that you can tell I'm making eye contact with the webcam right now, but I'm really looking at a little version of you with LinkedIn in the background. So as I see people, and sometimes I'll even take a picture, a screen capture of all of the people on the meeting, and I'll follow up with them later. I'll review their profiles. I'll make a determination if they're someone with whom I'd like to connect, and then I'll send them an invitation, which is going to be personalized. So if you really want to make an impact with people today, personalize every piece of correspondence, but especially the LinkedIn invitation to connect, because it'll show those folks that you care. It'll be a date and a timestamp marker for them, because if you've shared a virtual experience, they may forget who you are in the next several months and not remember where they met you or how they connected with you. And by putting that on the invitation to connect, they can archive it later and see, oh, yeah, we met at B2B Binge. Okay, I remember now. So you always want to give people the opportunity to place you. It'll help you when you come back and try to achieve top of mindedness down the road.
Right. So the next one is not about like sales or marketing or pitching per se, but how do you use virtual networking for getting a job if you're looking, searching for a job at this point of time?
Job seekers are tasked with being their own networkers now. Career advancement mirrors business development, and they're also trying to generate opportunities. Mining opportunities from their existing networks is really the key. And most people, even prior to the pandemic, were getting to their next role or position through their networks. I'm not sure what the bulletin boards offer on LinkedIn. I think that you've got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people going after the same job, just firing off these resumes to besieged human resources people and hiring managers, when in fact, networking into companies or leveraging relationships to gain introductions into companies becomes the key. So you use networking to find out who these folks are, what companies they work at, and if you have a relationship that can get you into that company and maybe, just maybe, get your resume kind of moved to the top.
Right. So the next question that we have is, how do virtual networking boosts branding for you, and how can we take a leverage of it at this point of time?
Nobody's going to forget me here today. That's how virtual networking works. You show up well, you'll be remembered. And if you want to be forgettable, take yourself off video, unmute your mic, don't contribute to the conversation. You won't build a brand. For those people who truly want to stand out, who truly want to build a brand, and this is the time to do it without question, it means just showing up well at your meetings. I don't mean to reinforce the notion, but it truly does come down to that. Every Zoom call, treat every Zoom call as an opportunity to build your brand.
Hmm. Right. So the next is actually, again, an addition to the question that we were discussing is, what should be the ratio, presentation versus conversation on Zoom or any other virtual networking platform?
It depends on how often you're invited to present, or when you speak, or when the conversation turns to you. These larger events are only as good as the people facilitating them. Yes. And I'm an experienced facilitator. So when I have people at my events, I could have a room of five, I could have a room of 105, and I'm going to try to involve everybody and engage everybody. Now at the bigger meetings, a lot of times you're not going to get a chance to unmute. You're going to just be there to absorb information and content.
Exactly.
But that said, at the smaller meetings, especially if the facilitator creates a safe environment where idea exchange can take place, as I am very focused on doing, everybody participates. Everybody's learning, everybody's contributing ideas, everybody's moving the conversation forward. You don't want to get off the call. You basically don't want to get off the call. So I love those meetings, and I keep my Zoom room open for a half hour, an hour after the event. People are still networking. So networking is just that. We are in the virtual world. We can get a pretty good idea based on the technology as to how people look, how they're engaged with us, if they're making good eye contact with us, what they're contributing in the chat room. Obviously, it's important for people to do things in the chat room, as I'm doing right now. And that is, it should come as no surprise to people that I have a LinkedIn account. And I am putting my LinkedIn profile URL into the chat room. If you'd like to review my profile, you're always welcome, folks. And if you'd like to connect, I think by now you've realized you better personalize the invitation, right?
You're getting a lot of fans, JD, lot of fans.
Oh,
the chat.
I love everybody. Everybody's welcome. The more, the merrier. but you know what? Here's the thing about a summit like this. I mean, we're in a global pandemic. With at this point, until further notice, we're not going anywhere. We're not meeting people. We're consigned and confined in the virtual world. Let's make the most of it. Business is getting done. People are pushing forward. More leaders are emerging every day. More people you want to plug into. We've all had this bubble of time now to do some things, to push some projects forward. Maybe it's to write a book or a white paper. Maybe it's to collaborate on a joint venture. People do have immense time now to do this. Even though we're busy, there's new issues. There's new things to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And if you're a young parent raising kids and dealing with virtual learning, if you're taking care of elderly parents, whatever the case may be, we've all got those family constraints. But for the most part, during the workday, we're not commuting. We're not losing time in traffic jams on the highway systems. We're at home. What can we do to really move the needle in our businesses right now? And I ask that to everybody.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, simply do it. Become proactive and get things done.
Because we were discussing about family, and I was thinking that we can wrap it up, but I have a really, really nice question there, which I have faced myself, and I've seen other speakers and people who I talk to on Zoom face the same thing. So we'll just take that up as one last question is, words of family members or pets who are like making guest appearances on your Zoom, like how do you deal with it? Is it like a, you know, thing that entertains people, or should you like keep them away? What do we do?
Well, I don't have to worry about young kids coming in. My kids are grown out of the house and
yeah,
hang with us, you know, every now and again. I've got an 80-pound golden retriever who kind of senses that I'm on Zoom, and it's important.
And you're busy, yeah.
He doesn't want to stick his nose in there. But you know what? It's. I think we're more laid back and relaxed on a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, if you were on a business call, a very important conference call, and the dog was barking or the kids were crying,
it was stressful. Total no-no, yeah.
You had to excuse yourself. It was, and you were not looked at as being professional. But you know what? We're in our element. We're showing up to meetings in flannel jammies right now, and we're more comfortable, we're more relaxed. And you know what? A lot of that stuff has provided the framework for us to do really good business and have great conversations, because we're in our element. And I think there's something to be said for that. But obviously, in a formal presentation, if something's happening or there's noise around the house, if people are working, if you've got the repair guys in and they're hammering or running a grill, it might not be the best environment for you. But for the most part, set yourself up in a great space, a quiet space where you can focus and concentrate and you feel grounded, where you can talk to the webcam as it's your friend, and you'll have great meetings.
Wow. That was an amazing discussion. Thank you, JD. And it felt like a very, like a nice conversational session, which was really good. And I was like taking it through, because the questions also that we got were really good. Thanks, guys, for putting in all the questions. And thank you so much, JD, again, for coming in, joining in with us, and having this wonderful session with us. Thank you.
That's how I roll, kids. And to whoever's on the other end of the call, thank you very, very much for working me into your day. Deb, I know we've been going back and forth for months. We're best friends for life now. So I love what you've done with this. You've promoted well. You've done state-of-the-art marketing on LinkedIn. And kudos to you on a great conference.